Thank you. Today, the title of our sermon is Preparation or Get Ready, and we're taking it from Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6, if you want to look there. But I want to tell you a story before I begin. And the story is about an old man in a tin. You see, it was the late 19th century in South Africa. An old man was digging for gold in a riverbed. He had been at it for many years, but he remained excited about what he might find and the fortune he might have. But gripped by gold fever, he was always excited about going down there to dig, even though many times he found little or nothing. As his dig neared its end, he found himself exhausted and discouraged. He was about to go home one evening, though, when he looked down around him and he saw these beautiful pebbles. So he reached out and grabbed a handful of those pebbles, put them in his pocket. And when he went home, he put these pebbles in a favorite tin, a tin where he kept a picture of his deceased wife. He kept also the old collar of his 18-year-old dog that died several years before that, and several other personal mementos that were very special to him. And he put down in that tin these pebbles. As time went on, he became poorer and poorer, and the dig did not encourage him at all, but still hoping that he would find that great find. And as he went on in his life, he became ill. His shack became ramshackled and like nothing. And finally, he got so sick that he needed a doctor but could not afford a doctor, and he died. A few days later, the police came to his house and went through his belongings to see if there was anything that they might find that could help pay for his funeral expenses. But they found nothing of any value. Even his house was just an old wooden shack falling to pieces, and the property would not bring much. And then this police officer found the tin. As one of the officers looked through it, he gasped with surprise as he looked to the picture of the wife and the old dog collar and several other things. He reached down even further and he saw on the bottom of this tin some pebbles, some beautiful pebbles. And the young officer screamed out to the others, he said, "We found uncut diamonds in here. He's got a fortune." The old miner had indeed been very rich, but he died thinking that he was very poor because he had not looked closely enough at what he thought were ordinary pebbles. He spent the whole life, or his whole life, searching for riches, but had missed the fact that those pebbles could have provided his material needs and beyond. The reason I tell that story this morning is it illustrates how anyone can get in a rut and miss the very things needed most. As Christians, we are so familiar with the story surrounding the nativity of Jesus that we may miss the real season or the real reason for this season. And we may really miss an opportunity to look again at our relationship with the Savior so that we might grow more in His perfect image and that we might gain something from this experience as we come to that time on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day where we celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that child. You see, it's not just another Christmas. If we prepare carefully, we may discover gems that we need to maintain a strong faith or to mature our relationship with the Savior. And I would encourage each of us to take time this season to discover something new. Think about this as we examine our scripture for today, as we read about John the Baptist and his coming. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of his word? John, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough road smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." May God and his blessing to the reading of his word. And please be seated. You see, John the Baptist plays a pivotal role between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Until John came on the scene, for nearly 1,500 years since the book of Leviticus was written, the only way to approach God had been by presenting a special animal to a priest for a blood sacrifice and by keeping the laws of Moses. The Old Testament, in fact, ends with a couple of promises. The first is the foretelling of John the Baptist's ministry. In Malachi 3:1, we find it reads, "See, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you desire." The second, of course, is the prophesying of Jesus' ministry. God's messenger is coming. And Malachi has this to say about John's ministry. "Look, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." And so we hear that John the Baptist is coming, but what is his message? You see, John, the son of a priest, a Levitical priest, ushered in a new way of approaching God. And it is the graciousness of God that John's ministry introduces, a goodness that extends not only to the Jews, but to every generation of people since then. Simply said, John the Baptist preaches, "Get ready for the Messiah." For you see, in Luke we read, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Now, back in biblical times, preparing for a king was really important. Many of the subjects would make preparations ahead of time. They would clean the village of all the rubbish. They would fix the potholes in the streets. Sometimes they'd even create a new highway for the king to travel, just for this great event of a king coming to town. And I want to tell you that this season we're celebrating that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming here in our midst. He wants you to get prepared for the celebration of his birth. And as we use these weeks to prepare for the celebration through our praying for our missionaries and praying about Christ in our lives, about attending services every week and understanding what the Advent means and the chrismons and all the things that point to the coming of Christ and the celebration of his birth, and then giving to others, let us keep our minds open and our hearts in a preparation mode so that we might share the good news of Jesus Christ during this season. You see, John the Baptist rose from the desert as a mighty prophet, condemning the religious establishment and encouraging the non-religious. You see, the religious people of that time had kept the light of God's word all to themselves. They knew the comfort of God. They knew the forgiveness of God. They understood the mercy of God. They also understood the joy of God. And that was all good. But they kept it to themselves, while regular people wandered in darkness all around them in ignorance. They did not know that there was a God who loved them. They did not know that they could pray to him. They didn't know his compassion and his mercy. They didn't understand the joy that could come from knowing a living God. So John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, preached to the religious establishment, saying, "Share the light with everyone." Now, my friends, let me give you a piece of information that may help you in preparing for this Christmas season. We are the religious establishment of today. We are the people called the church. We are the bride of Christ. And we are the organized church which claims to be the bride of Christ. That same message that John the Baptist gave to the religious leaders of that day could be the message he would give to us in this day. And we are here today because we know that Jesus Christ came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, that Jesus rose from the dead, and we truly believe that he's coming again. Now, many of us remember how we once wandered in darkness when we didn't know his love and forgiveness. Some of us were notorious sinners who hurt others and ourselves. Some others were apathetic about God and the things of God because you really didn't think he added anything to your life. And some others were beaten and battered and broken and were at the end of your ropes. And then one day someone brought light into your darkness. Someone had mercy on you, whether you knew you needed it or not. Someone reached out to you, sometimes in a dramatic way and sometimes in a very quiet way, but all in the name of Jesus. Maybe someone invited you to come to church. Or maybe they just took your hand and prayed with you. Or listened as you shared your problems. Some here may have even been touched by tough love. Or maybe someone just befriended you. Someone may have pointed you toward this church. Someone may have helped you when you needed a friend. Maybe just someone told you about Jesus' love and his babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then another candle was lit. And that candle was yours. Now when that happened, maybe the light of God's love shined upon you in a sudden flash like Paul on the road to Damascus. Or maybe it started out very slowly and became brighter and brighter until you knew your candle of life had been lit, much like Nicodemus. We as Christians, standing just weeks away from the celebration of the Christ child's birth, how can you describe the coming of the light in your life? How can you tell someone about the light that gives you hope and peace? The light that gives you promise even in times of trouble. The light that shines even in the valley experiences of life. I think this light, it's a sense of security and peace that we know will sustain us even during the hardest of times. It's like a joy that we had in an earlier time in our lives, which we lost and we have been found. Maybe it's like a heavy load that's been removed from our backs so you can stand tall and straight. Maybe it's like you've been tied up with a rope, but now you're free. Or just maybe it's like wandering around in a forest, lost, and then finding a familiar way and knowing you're on your way home. And you proceed with confidence. The light of Christ coming into our lives is like coming into the warmth when you've been out in the cold. It's like being fed when you're hungry. It's like knowing that someone's always got your back. And those of us who have experienced the light, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great? Isn't it marvelous as we experience the light in our lives, even when things are dark and tough and the roads are not even, and there are pot bellies, holes in this, and the crooked paths, that we know that there is the light of Christ. The light is wonderful. And we who are the religious people of this day, who are called the bride of Christ, we need to be merciful to those who are still in darkness in our world, who do not know Christ and do not have the light. We need to find ways to share the light, to share Christ, because most people around us are wandering in darkness. And the scriptures teach us, if we don't share the light, then it will be taken from us. You see, this is a question of mercy. We can't just bask in the light of God's love and in His Son, Jesus Christ, while the people are wandering around in darkness. They go around about their business, either suffering or not even giving it a thought, because there are no friends around them. There's no hope. And they think what they're chasing is real. Just like you and me, when we were in darkness, we were chasing that which wasn't real until the light was shared with us. And these people don't know what they're missing. But you do. And if you don't share it, you're going to lose it. And you will miss it. But if you do share His light, His light will become brighter in your life. Just like John the Baptist. Let us follow his example and share the light. Commit to sharing the light of Christ in this season. We've prayed for 8 days for missionaries. For Jim and Teresa Flora from Lesotho, Africa. People they did not even know, God led them there. And because of their presence, because of their sharing the light, there's a church. We find that the warrior family went to Central Asia, the country, seeing Muslim people come to Christ and become excited about sharing the gospel. We find out about Helen's outreach to families, and they're being discipled, and a church is started, and people are coming to Christ because they followed God. We find in Serious Hope, the Christian worker Peter Matheson works tirelessly to bring refugees God's shining hope, the light, while men and women, boys and girls are being tortured. And as more Syrians flee violence, our missionaries are there sharing the light. We find about the Hindu people who don't have hope, and our missionaries there are sharing the light. That's what the Holmans are doing. And we find that people are also in Buddhist areas. And in fact, we find that in the Philippines, there was a missionary couple there that was faithful, and the word around the village was, when you see him coming, say, your uncle is coming. And everyone in the village would then know to hide or go someplace. But there were some young people they shared the gospel with. And over the years, they grew up as Christians. And now one of those who's been discipled started a church, and people in the Philippines are coming to know Christ. And there are 30-something people, some who have never been to West Virginia, who are leaving Thursday to share the light. And that's what this season is about. It's about those of us who are the religious, who are the bride of Christ, who understand the light, to share it in love and let people know that the candle that lit my light in my life, that I want to share it with you, that you might understand God's mercy, His love, His forgiveness, His power, His promises. And I pray this season that each of us will find a new gem in the Christmas story, a new gem in the scriptures that might cause us to become more mature in Him. And this morning I will tell you, if you're here and you are not absolutely positive that you know the light of Christ, let me share how you can know you have the light of Christ. You're here for a purpose this morning. And I want you to know this God of Bethlehem, this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, He is the spiritual light in darkness, in the darkness of your hearts and the broken parts of your life. He is the light. It would be my great privilege to share how He can be your light. And you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that He lives in you. Maybe you're here this morning, you've received the light. You know you've experienced it. Maybe it was flaming brightly one day in your life, but it's starting to flicker. Something's missing. And maybe this morning you want to come and take me by the hand as we sing this hymn of invitation. And Pastor, especially during this season, I want my light to burn brightly. And maybe you're this morning and you're not a member of a local church. I pray that you'd come and join us as kingdom builders, as we're committed to sharing the light, to not only praying, but giving and going. You come and join with us this morning and become part of this religious community that wants to share the light. Please stand as we sing our hymn of invitation. 189.